Welcome to The Creative Classroom. I'm John Spencer, a former middle school teacher and a current college professor on a quest to see every student embrace a maker mindset and discover their own unique creative voice. See, I want to see schools become bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, we explore that intersection of creativity and student learning. And I share what I'm learning on this journey, the mistakes I make, the things that I found out, the people I've interviewed, all kinds of stuff. And hopefully you find something of interest. And that's kind of the goal of what this is all about. Today, we're going to be looking at something called creative focus. And I hope to dispel the myth that we have culturally that this generation, you can't see me doing air quotes, but that's what I'm doing, this generation can't focus, that they have really short attention spans. But before we dive into that, I have a favor to ask of you. If you listen to this podcast at all, I'd like you to do two different things if you enjoy it. If you hate this podcast, ignore what I'm saying. But number one, if you would leave a review on iTunes, you can just leave the stars and then leave it empty, or you can make sure that you write something up. That lets me know how I'm doing, but it also allows the audience to find this podcast. It makes it easier to show up on iTunes, which is really important. So if you believe in what we're doing here, then I would love if you did that. And then the second thing is just tell a colleague about it. Let people know on Twitter, on Facebook, in the staff lounge. Just let people know about this podcast. So again, I'm going to remind you at the very end of the podcast, but if you would do that, that would mean the world to me. So let's go ahead and dive in. I'm going to start with, again, no shocker, a story, a personal story from my life and from being a dad. So last week, I think it was maybe Wednesday, I shared a story on my blog, it's at spencerauthor.com, of how my middle son spent hours lost in the creative process of making a sketch animation video. And again, I highly recommend that you check it out. This is just a geeky, dorky dad moment. I'm just way proud of what he made. But while he was doing that, his older brother and his younger sister, he's the middle child, spent hours tricking out the play structure in our yard. It now has a flag, a pulley system for passing supplies, a ramp, and a bench on the top of it where kids can hang out. I'm going to let you hear it from him, where I briefly interviewed and ask him a couple questions about it. So my son has made this contraption. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so I take a marble, and it starts out in one bucket, and it goes through a tube.
And the tubing are made from, like, pool noodles?
Yeah, and then it bounces off of a plate, like a clay plate, and into a little cup.
You've got it going through over a
skateboard.
Stuff like that. Awesome. Okay, now we're going over to the play area, which do you call it Hoth or Tatooine? What?
Naboo.
Naboo, sorry. Got that so wrong. They call it Naboo. And tell me some of the things you've made in Naboo.
So we made something that we call the bucket system, and it's where we have a rope that goes from one play, like, building to the next, and the rope goes through the bucket and loops around so that it's basically two ropes tied to one bucket. And then whenever we want to deliver one thing to the other station, then we put it in the bucket and the other person can pull the bucket right over, and then they can send it right back.
Joel, here, show them.
Now, I've written before about why play is vital for the creative process, but as I watch them play, I notice an interesting trend. Their play is extremely focused. there's a sense of deep work and creative flow going on. In other words, it's much more structured and much more complicated than it first appears. Now, I've always viewed play as sort of a break from mental focus. It's a chance to be spontaneous and scattered and run around back and forth. It's a brain break. We use that term all the time in education, right? But I'm not so sure that that's actually true. That doesn't seem to be what I notice when I watch my kids play, or when I watch them play with the kids in our neighborhood. Yes, there is a lot of movement and silliness and goofiness and laughter. There are bursts of spontaneity, but it's almost always rooted in this longer extended sense of purpose. There's always an immersive world that they're building at the time. Now, I share this story in part because I'm being one of those obnoxious, proud dads. I get it. I want to talk about my kids because I love them. But I'm also sharing this because I don't buy into the myth that, quote, kids these days have short attention spans and can't work on a task for hours. Number one, I've never actually seen the research that backs it up. It's kind of a cultural belief that I've never seen actual evidence for. But I also don't actually see this happening in life. I mean, watch kids play Minecraft or engage in cardboard challenges, and you'll see kids spend hours in focused creative play. And while the sales of adult books, that sounds bad, that sounds inappropriate. Sorry, let me say it a different. While the sales of books for adults are on the decline, sales of children's books and young adults continue to grow. In other words, they're not having a hard time on their own for fun, getting lost in a creative, immersive world. In fact, studies have shown that children prefer physical books to books on screens. So again, for all this talk of digital natives and how technology's changing kids' minds, I'm not seeing it. I'm really not. The issue isn't attention span. It's engagement. No. It's not even engagement. It's empowerment. And it's the kind of empowerment that happens when you're fully immersed in creative play. So I want to share 6 strategies for cultivating this creative focus in students. So how do we help students hit that place of creative flow or that place of creative focus? How do we help them remain fully engaged in what they're doing? Well, I have a couple ideas that I'd like to share. Well, I guess technically a couple is 2. So I have 6. So here we go. Number 1, fewer interruptions. This is a hard paradigm shift for me to make in teaching. I remember assuming that students needed to shift to a new task every 10 minutes or so. And that if they didn't, they would be disruptive and they would cause problems and all this kind of stuff. And it felt risky to create longer stretches of time for my 7th and 8th graders to just simply work. I thought they would get bored. I thought they'd check out, but that's not what happened. When I began to move toward design thinking and towards longer sustainable projects, what I found is that students didn't check out. It just didn't happen. They actually got more focused and more engaged. Number 2, more student ownership. Now, my son Micah chose the topic for his video. He drew the pictures himself, he wrote out the script, he worked at his own pace. And while I shared a specific process with him and I was there to kind of mentor him for a while, he was able to deviate from that process and make it his own. In fact, there became a point in the process where I walked away for a while and he was so lost in what he was doing that he didn't notice that I had told him that I would be leaving. Now, that tells you something about ownership. Number 3, allow for breaks. One of the big take-homes from the book Rest, which is a book I've been hammering on a lot. Like, I love this book. It's one of the best books I've read in the last year. Is that sometimes you need to take a walk or switch to a mundane task in order to have a creative breakthrough. This is tough to pull off in a classroom, But I've seen teachers create spaces for these breaks, and it's significant. It allows them to walk back into the rhythm of creativity. Number four, redesign the space. Notice, and I mean the physical space here. All three of my kids were comfortable where they were working. All of them shifted between sitting and standing. Each of them decided when they wanted to be quiet or when they wanted a little more noise. And this is why I used to have standing centers in my classroom. And this is why I allowed students to move from group to group. I think the physical space shouldn't inhibit a state of flow. It should actually encourage students to hit that place of mental focus. Number five, spend more time focusing your attention on motivation. Students will be distracted when they're forced to do section reviews in a textbook or take another multiple choice test. It helps to find ways to tap into students' natural motivation and align the standards to that rather than trying to spice up boring tasks by making them faster and more action-packed. And number six, embrace problem solving. My kids spent the entire day solving two different problems. The first involved redesigning a play structure to make it based on this fictional world and this make-believe hoodie club, which was this thing where they have staffs and magic and they wear, you know, hoodies that they pretend are robes. It's pretty geeky and nerdy and awesome at the same time. And the second involved making a sketch animation video that the students in his class would actually want to do. My son wanted to make something that his fellow classmates would want to do in writing. Now, the tasks, the audiences, the materials, they were totally different. One was working by himself, that was Micah. The other two, Joel and Brenna, were working together. But there was this common element of problem solving. Both projects involved this larger overarching question or problem or conflict that drew them in to then solve tons of tiny smaller problems. Now, these problems created a sense of suspense and allowed them to focus for longer periods of time. And notice that it's not about action, but it's more about suspense. Too often as a teacher, I tried to avoid boredom in the classroom by creating more action and increasing the pace of the lessons. But I wasn't paying any attention to the conflict. I wasn't even thinking about why students would be drawn into problem solving. In other words, it was the equivalent of a Michael Bay movie with lots of explosions, but no coherent problem that anyone actually cared about. So I think you really got to define problems and spend time thinking about problems that students really care about. Now, I use the word problem here. You could say conflict. You could also say questions, but it's got to be that thing that draws people in and gets them really excited about doing it. So the bottom line is that students don't have short attention spans. They can focus for hours on a single project, but it has to feel relevant and meaningful to them. And they need to have the time and the space to accomplish it. It's not easy in a world of school bells and curriculum maps and mandatory tests that they have to pass. I get it. I was there for over a decade. But it is still something we should strive for. We should still be drawing them into the slower, focused work of creativity. Because when they do, that's when learning feels like magic. Hey, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. You can find it at creativeclassroompodcast.com. We just got that domain name. So anyway, check out all the past episodes. There are instructions on how to subscribe if you're new to this. And then again, if you enjoyed this, if you found it helpful, if you think it's useful at all, I would love for you to leave a review on iTunes. Thank you so much.